It is possible to find inspiration in unexpected places, even within the walls of your own home. Sana, our woman trailblazer, discovered this firsthand. Having been raised in a household of strong women, including her grandmother Rajni Bector, Sana was inspired to follow in their footsteps and create her own unique path. After getting experience in the food business through her stint at Cremica Food Industries Limited, she partnered with her mother, Geeta Bector, to establish Zoot Custard Company, a company on its way to making a name for itself in the industry. So hi, Sana, and welcome to this series of conversations where, as you know, we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us about their challenges, struggles through the journey so that other women get inspired and, you know, step out of whatever is holding them back to realize their full potential. And eventually, we want to build a community of women who are there to support and empower each other. So welcome to the show, and let's get started.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I absolutely love the concept that you're trying to create, and I'm really very honored to be a part of it.
Thank you for being here. So fine. So just to begin with an icebreaker, tell us a little bit about your early life, your childhood.
So I grew up in a joint family with lots of siblings, mostly boys.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun. And we were really lucky. We had a bakery in the backyard that my grandmom runs still today, actually. Uh-huh. And so we had a lot of food in our life. Just growing up was just all about food and dessert and ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any particular memory that you have of your from your childhood, which you think has made you the way you are today?
There are so many, but I think... in particular, I think it's also always seeing that the women in my house were always working.
Okay.
They were always, ahead of the curve in some way. My grandmother set the tone for that in our house. She made it very natural, very normal, almost like there was no question about there being any difference between the genders in our home.
Okay.
You know, so there was no disparity in that sense. I think that struck me very early on, because when I would go outside of our home, that was not the reality for the rest of the world.
Yeah. True. And anything else which helped shape your personality? Because as you know, the way you are raised, your childhood, you know, that has a great impact on the way you become as a person. So anything else that now when you look back, you feel that, yes, this is what worked for me?
I think one of the biggest things that we were taught really early on was to be genuine. You know, we were all kids from a very privileged space, even in our early years. But one thing that my grandmom always told us is that if you don't have anything nice to say genuinely, then say nothing.
Yes, that's true.
So don't say something, because that's the way the world works and that's how people expect you to be.
That's
always stuck with me, that if any interaction I have, any work, anything I take on, I have to give it my best. I have to be very genuine and sincere with what I do. And the other thing that she always taught us is that everything is transient. Change is always going to happen. So, you know, if you're really comfortable in your space, that's not something to take for granted. You have to always be prepared, because things will change. Things can change. And, you know, their generation went through the partition.
Yeah,
so they had great. So for them, I think what they really understood was that even the most plush, luxurious lives can go away in an instant. So it's about who you are as a person and not about what you have. So that's something I was always taught by my grandmother.
Yeah. So that's actually something really great. And yes, you know, these are kind of the values, that the beliefs that, you know, hold you in good stead as you go along. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess coming from such a background, having a career or being financially independent would have been natural. I mean, nothing like that you had to really think about. Am I right?
Yes and no. I think it's very easy to fall into the space where, you know, you can say, okay, you know, I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to work so hard. I can just enjoy a little bit more. And especially in your 20s, when everybody's in college, having a good time.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, there's a part of it that you're always, you have that option of taking it easy, for some people. And at least we've been privileged enough to have that. And so my personal challenge is fighting that option. Fighting that option, why, and finding a why, because I think as women in any walk of life, you always have that situation where you have to have a why to go back to work. Even if you're a parent, I'm a parent now. So why am I taking time away from my daughter? Why am I not with her? Why am I not home? Why am I? So all that why has to be really strong. So it's not just about financial independence. Of course, that's really important. But for me, it's about the precedence I'm setting for her for the future.
So
that becomes a bigger why, I guess. And so I always try to find that. When I reconnect to that, I can make it easier for myself, because there's a lot of guilt, that comes on to us.
Yeah, as a young girl, yes, I can understand. Yeah. But when you were a young girl, getting into this workspace was a natural progression?
I always knew that I would, yes. I always knew that I would get into the food space. I always knew that I would get into working straight out of high school. I knew that I would get straight into work. That was something definitely that was natural. In fact, I always thought it would be a lot easier.
Okay.
Than it ended up being. Mm-hmm. So that was very natural for me. Because I always wanted to create value. Somewhere, create value, So that was,
And of course, living up to what your grandmother had set up. It was quite a, an example, So I guess living up to those standards also must have played somewhere at the back of your mind. Because I guess when
Sorry, I was just going to say that, she's self-made. I think somewhere that made, at least for me, it made me realize that everything that I've been fortunate to have in my life is not something I take for granted. Like going to a good school, going to a good college, having the access to good education is not something I want to waste.
Definitely.
I always want to sort of find a path where I would, create something out of that. So for my grandmom, she never had expectations of us that, okay, you have to be a certain type of way or you have to do a certain type of thing. In fact, her guidance to me always is that I was working, but first, my first priority was my family. She had young kids when she started working. So that's her guidance to me always. But at the same time, I always knew that, okay, if I want to do something, I have to do it now, straight out of school, straight out of college. Because I think we were at that age, that generation, I think it's still there today, where suddenly at 23, 24, you had to have your life figured out. With social media, and there's so many incredibly successful people, very young. There's that whole pressure of 30 under 30.
So you have
that suddenly that okay, I have to just go running towards work.
That's
I think there was a bit. There was a bit of that and a bit of, trying to create some value. But I don't think I had it figured out. I don't think I was all naturally inclined towards work. I think I had to push myself a little bit as well.
So I guess when
what about you? How come you decided to
start this
platform?
So see, I have been working for the last 30 plus years. I teach at the Delhi University. This was happened almost 6-7 years ago when my older one, Vidur, went to college and I had a lot of time. So that's when I started, decided to start blogging. I always love to read and write. So it took a while for it to kind of take off, but that's how it is. And then, of course, this women thing, women empowerment and being there for women is something that I really care for. In fact, I'm doing my doctorate on gender diversity. So I think these are all offshoots of the same thing. And that website, that blog, e-magazine,
I used to interview women there. And then, of course, podcasting is a big thing now. So the last 3 months, I decided that let me also convert the interaction into a podcast, because obviously then you're able to reach out to more people. Yeah. And the whole idea of this is to inspire. So the more platforms you are present on, you know, the more is your ability to reach out. So that is how it all began.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so like you said that, you know, of course, you're a young mom, so I can understand the kind of challenges you're facing right now, you know, when you have to split your time between work and your child. But otherwise, when you got into the working space, anything in particular you can recall which, you know, was like a roadblock, which is like a challenge for you?
Just so many. If I look particularly from the lens of gender, straight into work. I started working with my dad initially because I wanted to get experience in the food industry. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I would do is just go and attend all the meetings of all the verticals I was in, but as a observer, because I was still in college when I started working. And so I remember there was a meeting when some marketing firm had come to pitch to my dad's firm to get their business. And in the middle of the meeting, this gentleman who was presenting his pitch was looks at me and he says, oh, you know, some of us have to work to provide for our families, but it's not like you would understand that. And then he went on with his conversation. He didn't know who I was, that I had any relation to the family that runs his business, nothing. I didn't even introduce myself. He just said that purely because there was a young looking girl sitting in the room. Mm-hmm. And she's a girl, and why would a girl have to provide for her family?
Yeah.
So it struck me as really odd. That was my first time realizing, okay, there's going to be some hurdles that I'm going to have to cross when I get into this work, especially for people to take me seriously. And, moving forward, I think the food industry over the last few years has really become quite open to women being in the workspace. But I think early on, when I just started working, there was a lot of, salespeople who had a certain way of talking. They would only understand men. They would always think that I was just an assistant in the room, or like a secretary or somebody. It was entertaining that in school and in college, I was also in DU. You mm-hmm. think the world has gone further ahead?
Yeah.
Because your world is different, but when you come workspace, you suddenly realize the world is actually still quite a lot there. It's still stuck in its ways. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take some time to change that. And in fact, that was one of the reasons I wanted to start my own thing, because I realized that I will only be able to sit in the room and have a salesperson or somebody take me seriously if they understand that this is entirely my project or my space or my brand. And then they know that they are coming to deal with me, a woman, and my mom, who is also a woman. There's no option of somebody else in the room. Yeah. So that was interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So also being a woman is one thing. And you think age was also a reason why people maybe initially did not take you seriously?
Absolutely. I think particularly in family business spaces as a young entrepreneur, you'll always have those hurdles, you know, where people have been working much longer. People have way more experience, and you come in with fresh perspectives and fresh ideas, and you know, change everything. And that's the standard story everywhere, you know. And there's some people that are excited by change, and of course, many that aren't. So there's always resistance.
Most, I think, are not. People do resist change. Yeah, that is true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, of course, I mean, you have your own brand, you're a working woman, you're a mother, you're a daughter. So I think this is something that every woman has to face, more women than men, balancing of different roles, the multiple hats that we have to wear. So how is there any mantra or anything that you have thought of or which you practice in your life that you can share with us?
I think it's always work in progress. I speak to all of my friends that are, you know, all age groups. The kids are young, old, they're just married, they don't have kids. It's always a balancing situation. Because
it's still
exactly. As women, we want to do everything. You know, it's not that we don't want to do everything. In fact, the other day I was talking to some friends and they were saying, you know, if we did what our husbands do, get up in the morning, go play golf, have breakfast, nod at our kids, go to work, come back, have dinner, what would society think of us then?
True, a very valid question. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really interesting perspective. And I realized that it's not so much that we can't do it. It's just that we don't want to do that. We don't want to have that life. We want to be present. We are quite naturally inclined to be present. I'm not saying we're naturally inclined to be caretakers. That's a very personal choice. But I think at least the women that I know in my life, they always want to be present and do, you know, try to do everything that they want, that they desire. Right? For me, I've realized that I've had to stop being so hard on myself about having a very rigid schedule, especially since my daughter came around, because I was the type of person who had to be at work at 9:30 latest and, you know, would stay there all day and every day. And something took me away from work, which was, you know, quote unquote frivolous. I found it very odd. And I know a lot of people who still work like that. And that's great if that works for them. You know?
Yeah.
But for me, I want to be more present at home with my child, at least in these early years. I realized that I have to find a balance. So either I, you know, schedule my day so I get pockets of time with her, or I bring her to work with me, which I don't know how healthy it will be in the long run, but she's allowed. So it's been an interesting journey, but mostly it's been an interesting journey with my own mind and my own rules for myself and my own perception of what it means to be a working woman. I think the greatest benefit from COVID was this ability to work remotely, or this ability to have a flexible schedule, and people respecting that more than women wanting to do it or men wanting to do it. Other people that you work with respecting that you can work flexibly, you know, to some degree. So I think that was the greatest benefit from COVID. And I think that's something that we can, as a society, now really take on.
Yeah,
because I don't think in today's generation the dads want to just, you know, leave the kids to the moms and go to work, you know.
That has changed.
I think parenting, I wouldn't even say it's a mom and dad thing, it's regardless of gender, you know. People, partners, co-partners, parents, they're all equally hands-on.
Correct.
For instance, I have a lot of support from my husband and my family, you know, that I have to give 100% credit to. You know, so there are days when my daughter goes to school now, so twice in a month I take her, twice in a month he takes her. We have that kind of schedule.
I guess then, you know, so you have to balance, and you definitely need the support of people around you, because otherwise you can't do it. So I feel having a schedule, planning your day in advance, and also being able to prioritize, I mean, what is important right now? I think that's very important to know. I mean, if there is an emergency, work emergency, then probably you'll have to, you know, leave your kid and then go to work. So yes, that has to be.
I think also, that being said, there's also this ability to, you know, there's this ability that I had, at least as a woman, to really be really hard on myself, to do everything. I will plan all the food and cook everything, and I will, you know, because I want my kid to have the yummiest food, and I'm great at cooking. And I will do all the work, and I will go do my exercise also, and then go meet my friends at night, and then that's a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. Never try and do everything.
So like you said, that prioritize and pick just a few things, and life gets easier.
Yes, and easier. And, you know, this is something which is long lasting. You can't burn yourself out. That is very important to know. Great.
Yeah.
Susanna, when you now kind of course, you're still very, very young, but still life that you've led so far, if you were to look back, so what do you think has been your biggest success so far? Of course, there are miles to go, but as of now.
Well, as of now, I think, just seeing the way this little brand that my mom and I started from a small counter has evolved and become its own entity has been the most incredible experience of my life. Now we have three completely self-owned and operated outlets. One which is in which is a shop and shop, and we're opening two more within the next few months. So, you know, just seeing that this little tiny idea that we had sitting at home of bringing some of my childhood desserts to the world kind of flourish into its own thing, its own identity. And I remember I was in Ahmedabad doing a short executive education thing in IIM, and I met with some who said, "Oh, you run Zoot?" I was so surprised because, you know, I, of course, people that know me know that, but somebody in a different city who has never interacted with me or that probably doesn't even visit Delhi that much had heard of the brand. It was the most like incredible moment for me.
I can imagine. I can totally imagine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was, I mean, such a small thing, but whenever somebody tells me that they've tasted our product and, you know, of course, especially if they've liked it, that's
well,
the
I do. I do.
Thank you so
I've
much.
I've had access to many of them. So, yes, I do love them a lot.
Yeah. So that's the best part. I think that's the biggest high in terms of work and the biggest success in terms of work.
Definitely. Yeah. Recognition, appreciation, the fact that people know you are there. I think that's huge. That is self. I mean, that's an affirmation.
We've been working so hard on it. So to have that, you know, kind of reflect in society is really exciting. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. Susanna, what is your way to motivate yourself? The days when you are like down and out and nothing seems to be going right, but then you do know that, you know, the days like stretches in front of you, you have work to do or you have other responsibilities. So how do you pep yourself up?
There's a few things. One of the things I try to do, especially on the days when the week feels very long and also when things don't really seem to go your way, because that happens a lot. I try to go to one of the stores and just work behind the counter for like an hour or so.
Oh, nice.
You know,
okay.
Because that interaction, you know, especially when we have kids coming into the store, and even if people aren't buying anything, just having a conversation, getting them to taste something, because, you know, the food that we do is happy food, I feel. I remember hearing somewhere, somebody said, you can never be sad eating ice cream.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
You could be sad before.
Yeah, but
you
but can't not be after. Sad
while. Yeah.
While and after so, both, you can't be.
Yeah. So we, that's honestly one of the best ways that I find that motivation again, because when I'm there, I'm interacting with people and just like getting them to try the product. And, you know, when you see someone's face, like light up when they taste something you've made, it's so exciting. It keeps you going. It kind of puts that perspective back in place that, okay, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I know nothing worked out today, but this one thing worked. So that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that can actually be hugely motivating because you're actually seeing, I mean, the fruits of your labor. You know, you can see somebody enjoying and you can see that, you know, people liking it. So definitely. All right.
And
anything else?
I think we're very hands-on with what we do. We're not trying to just build a brand that is successful on paper. That's definitely one. And the other thing that I would say is... you know, I kind of come back to, I practice Buddhism. So I always come back to my faith and my purpose of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Like I said earlier, you know, there's always a larger reason that helps. Having a bigger picture always helps motivate you. Because I know that if my goal was just this quarter or the next quarter or this year's sales, then I may give up at some point. But because my goal is 10 years, 20 years down the line, I know I have to keep at it.
Yeah, definitely. So, which brings us to the next question. 10 years from now, where do you see yourself?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's so many tips on how to visualize and, you know, create sort of mood boards of your future and figure out, you know, manifest.
Yes,
manifestation
yes,
is a thing
nowadays. Yes, I agree.
But honestly, I don't know if I'll ever have the time to actually sit and do one of those exercises of actually doing it. whole manifestation mood board. But what I do know is that I would really like, in terms of work, our brand to reach a lot more people. You know, I think our country is such a lovely place where people are now finally appreciating homegrown brands. Something like what we're doing, what Vidur is doing as well. So fascinating to have people from our country create products for our people. You know, why would an international brand do something better than us? I don't think that's the case anymore. When you were growing up, getting chocolate from anywhere else in the world was the biggest joy of our lives.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. But now you have options here.
Exactly. And chocolate that's grown here. So we have so much possibility. And I really would like that our brand can be one of those great brands from India to the world. So that would be my plan for 10 years.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So looking back on your life, any life lessons, any learnings that you would want to share with us?
I don't know if I can condense that into one. I think for me, honestly, the biggest one, I guess, because I was also talking about it earlier today with somebody, that is that, you know, the timeline of, like, especially reaching 30, because I'm 31 now. I just turned 31 recently. But I realized that run up to 30, you always have this, like, pressure that I have to achieve everything before 30, especially as a young person. So if I look back to my 20-year-old self, I definitely tell myself that, firstly, success is not the same for everybody. My success is very individual to me, and somebody else's may be very individual to them.
Yeah.
And secondly, success is not just about how I'm doing monetarily. It's also about how I've grown as a person. So I think I personally didn't focus on that too much in my 20s, but definitely trying to focus on that a little bit right now, because I realized that how I am as a person is way more important than just alone monetary success.
Yes, because definitely.
And especially if we talk about gender, you know, any gender, but particularly for women, we're always branded to be a certain type of way.
Yes.
Bossy or, you know, so many terms that people use. And so I think, and that hasn't changed, despite whether, you know, popular culture might want us to believe that it's changed. I don't think it's really changed.
Which is really surprising and shocking, because, you know, I mean, coming from where I come, and I mean, we are like generations apart, but it, you know, you would expect that the world would have changed, you know, with all the education, exposure, and awareness. It is surprising. Yeah,
exactly. And or women are expected to be very nice all the time and very gentle and empathetic to everybody's problems, you know. So there's always these expectations I feel that are put on people, whatever their gender may be. So I think that's a big one, that understanding where I am, who I am, success is not just that thing on paper. You know, success can be me finding my own space, me finding my own voice.
Definitely.
And also learning how to be assertive, but not rude. That was a big one for me the last few years. I think that was a big lesson. Right. And on a lighter note, you know, maybe not so light actually, but the first time I had to fire somebody, that was a really big challenge.
Okay. So you were not so nice at that time.
Well, you know, because
but you like it.
Yeah, and because you also do like the people that work with you, especially if it's been a little while.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just not working. So it really felt like a relationship sort of ending.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So, of course, now, you know, the world is progressing. Of course, there are many ways it hasn't, but as compared to earlier times, it is. And you have many women who are successful, who are making a name for themselves. So how do people react to them? You have a brand, or you're working somewhere, you're at a top position, you know. So how do people in general, both men and women, react to women who've done well for themselves? What is your opinion?
Well, I mean, now I feel like people are very positive. At least the people that I've been coming across in the last, you know, few years, I found that even people that are elder, they sort of understand that women have carved out a space for themselves. There's so many, like you said, successful women that I don't think it's possible for anyone to sort of put, you know, a woman who's working in a corner and box them up into a housewife or a small-time entrepreneur or somebody who might not be able to reach a certain scale. I think that's quite, it's quite a different landscape today. And surprisingly enough, I think our country is actually quite ahead in that space compared to many others. We have so many entrepreneurs that are women. In fact, even people that are just behind the scenes women entrepreneurs, they may not have brands that are consumer facing. So I think there's a lot of really interesting stuff people are doing. There are a lot of organizations that are supporting, like yourself, that are supporting women and getting these stories out. So that's been big. And like I said, I think I've also found that a lot of, you know, in terms of couples, I think both partners are taking on household roles. So that norm of, you know, it being to one gender or the other, or, you know, so on and so forth, that's gone. And that's gone across the board. It's not just that men are doing household chores women are, you know, but also in situations where women are contributing to the household in terms of finances, they're also managing the household in terms of the, you know, not so soft jobs like electricity and water and plumbing and, you know, fixing the car and so on and so forth. So I don't think there's any gender roles in terms of that anymore either. I think the biggest task is sometimes fighting that battle in your own mind. As a woman, you'll always be told or given an option. At least a lot of women are given an option of, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. And of course, I understand I'm talking about a very small part of society when I say this. But those are the people that have the opportunity to create value. If I talk about people with wealth, with means, they have the opportunity to do something to give back. So I think for them, it's more of a responsibility that they need to fight that voice in their own head that's saying, I can just go for lunch today. I don't have to get into work. I think it's really important that those women decide that in some way, even if it's not entrepreneurship or it's not work, in some way I have to create value in my society beyond just my home. So that, I think, is the only challenge I see in terms of the people that I've been meeting in terms of the workspace.
So generally you feel that people are more accepting and they kind of know that it is going to be there. There are so many women. So it's not something which is unheard of, or you could just kind of take it as, you know, flash in the pan, which is not going to happen again. So yeah, I think they're getting used to the fact.
You know, I mean, going back to my grandmother's time, just quickly, she didn't have Instagram or internet or 10,000 role models or people she could look up to. She had an idea and a desire and a lot of opposition from people around her.
Because at
the time, it didn't matter if you were wealthy or not. Women just didn't work. You know, so today, you have so much access to knowledge and information and education. A lot of people are so well educated. And yet they choose not to contribute to society on some level. I think for our country, it's so important that we make it's not just normal, but also imperative.
I totally agree. Yes.
Like you would judge a man for sitting at home all day and doing nothing. But why? We have to hold ourselves to the same standards, right?
When you're talking about gender balance or equality, it has to be from everywhere. You know, you just can't say have one set of rules for yourself and another set for the other gender. That's, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sana, one thing that I, of course, have noticed, and probably you too have done, that there are a lot of people who are switching gears in their midlives. Of course, you are far from it right now, but changing professions, changing careers, taking up things which were probably unheard of earlier. So what do you think about that? And why is it?
I think it's incredible. One of the biggest reasons why I feel people are empowered to change and to do something new is because there is no correct path to a career today for our generation, I feel, and especially the generation after us, the you know, people who are younger, There is no path in the sense that you don't have to go to business school to become an executive.
Mm.
You don't have to do a marketing degree to work in marketing. You don't have to, you know, necessarily have a chef's degree to work in a cooking business or have a home cooking business or, you know, so on. You could just be somebody who's a passionate home cook and start a business. You know, so I don't think there's any clear-cut route to a successful career. In the sense that I have so many friends that I know that maybe studied something different, like history or something that really they were passionate about, and then ended up working in a very business environment and thriving because they bring a different perspective to the table, you know, and not just the same cookie cutter perspective that everybody has. So I think that's a really interesting change that's happened. And I feel that it's great that people are switching gears in their careers and doing, because I feel like life is only that long. If you're not pleased with where you are, it's never too late to start doing something different.
Yeah.
I know that my mom and my co-founder, she was perfectly happy doing what she was doing. She was working with my dad for so many years, great career. And, you know, when I said, I want to do this with you, she switched 360 degrees and became a small startup entrepreneur, sort of, of a small, you know, not as a very, very young person. I mean, of course, she's very young in her mindset. And her energy levels. But I don't think it was conventional. And one thing I've always learned from that is that there's no right time to start doing something new, to start doing something you want to do. You know, I think people are aging a lot slower now as well.
I would love to agree.
I definitely feel that way, because you can have a conversation with somebody as a 25-year-old, you can have a conversation with somebody who's in their 50s, and of course you have completely different life experiences, but you'll both understand each other really well.
Yeah,
not in a situation where you feel, oh, they're just a whole different generation. I don't think that happens anymore.
Yes, I think because of, I think social media also has a large role to play in this, because, you know, you're aware, you know what's happening, and that awareness is on both the sides. So there aren't any things that you're, you know, they're unheard of. I mean, I don't know what's happening in your part of the world or your corner of the world, or you don't know what's happening in mine. So there is this... there are no clear-cut boundaries any longer. You know, there is a lot of intermingling and spilling over that's happening. So I think that is making it easier. All right. So your two bits for young girls, girls who are on the threshold of their professional, personal lives, you know, what would you like to tell them, and what should they look out for when they are just about to kind of, you know, take off?
One of the first pieces of advice that a friend of mine actually gave me when I was interning and interning endlessly for free in different companies was know what your work is worth and add tax. And that should be what you ask people to pay you, because nothing is free. No work should be free, because I was essentially working a full-time job under the guise of an intern. So that was the first thing, that, you know, it's okay and it's important to ask to be paid for good work. If you're just shadowing somebody and if you're just doing a learning and sort of role, then that's a different situation. Internships are great to do that. But it's very important to be able to ask for what you would like. Only then maybe you'll get it.
Very true. Very true.
And the other thing was, you know, that everything starts with respect for myself. I cannot respect my work or the people that I am around if I don't respect myself. And then the last thing that I've always tried to live with is to become indispensable wherever I work, in the sense that if I give it my all, that people tend to understand that, okay, you know, this is something Sana can do. This is something she can handle. Especially if you're just starting out, it's really important to sort of have clear idea of what you would like your work ethic to be. I'm not saying that you have to work extra hours and work on weekends and become completely selfless. I think it's important to have that respect, like I said, for yourself.
Yeah,
but also, while we're working, to make sure that we're not taking it lightly in that sense, you know, to create value where we are.
Yeah, that's true. And I think one thing that you mentioned, which has kind of really struck me, is that if you have the privilege, the ability, then don't waste it, in the sense that, you know, you've been educated well, you have the financial wherewithal and the opportunity, then don't waste it. And I mean, just because you are a girl, definitely don't waste it. You know, like, yeah. I think it's very important to justify, you know, I mean, a large amount of resources may have been spent on getting you where you are today. So you just can't say that I don't want to do anything. Yeah. That, I think, is something which a lot of young girls should understand. And if they don't, I mean, I feel very strongly about it. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think, you know, when you start working and you interact with women from all walks of life, you realize that for a lot of people, that's not even an option. And they're doing out of their way, fighting all discomfort to be able to do this, to be able to work and provide for the families. And here we are having the luxury to even debate, you know, whether or not I should even try. But the big thing, you know, I wanted to also just talk about quickly was that a lot of times we're afraid of failing.
Yes, that's true.
What people say. And I understand that. I understand that fear. But I also think that that's something that, that's what I meant. It's something we need to work on internally. You know, a lot of times women feel they don't have the option to fail because they're already fighting a system that exists in their lives. So that's something I think as a society we need to work on. Parents, men, you know, whatever gender people may ascribe to, they have to decide that, you know, failure is also acceptable.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you don't try, you won't even know. So, and if you have the privilege, then maybe you have the privilege of trying also. And if you fail, it's okay.
So, of course, you are young. I don't know whether you can relate to what I'm about to say. But, you know, a lot of us have grown up hearing this, that a woman is a woman's worst enemy. Do you think so?
I think conventionally that's still put across sometimes. But I don't think that women are doing that to each other anymore.
Okay, that's great to hear, actually. Yes.
And doing it to themselves. I think there's a lot of awareness on this inner voice and our own inner critics, particularly, where we only hold ourselves back. So I could never do that, or I'm not looking that kind of way, or I'm not being that kind of way. But now, if you look at this generation, there's so much freedom in terms of, you know, what people are choosing to wear, what people are choosing to do. I think it's really lovely. That being said, I think it's really important to create a safe space for people to have that ability to express, you know, themselves. In terms of the other aspect of women being sort of, you know, put up against other women, I think there's definitely a change there. There's definitely a big change in the sense that we sort of understand that if we are to succeed, it has to be together as a society.
It has to be together.
Just me against the other person. But maybe I'm being idealistic. I don't know, you know. Maybe that's just the great group of girls that I know that are just constantly each other's, you know, big support.
So that's how, you see, it's like a small bubble becoming an ocean. But I also think, you know, that somewhere, I don't know, this is my personal opinion, that we were also played at, you know, in the sense that it was something like divide and rule, you know, that you'll just, you know, just set up one woman against the other and, you know, both of them will end up, you know, with whatever, failing in whatever they were trying to do. Because I think women understand each other so well because we all go through this similar kind of experiences. So I can relate. So what you tell me when you say that, you know, you are kind of trying to balance between your work and your child, I can totally get it. Because I've been through it myself. So why would a woman not guide or mentor or coach someone, you know, who is going through something similar? So actually, I also don't believe, but it's just that I thought that, you know, let me pick your brains on that. All right.
Yeah.
So Sana, finally, can a woman have it all?
So I actually did a podcast with my grandmother a couple of years ago.
Okay.
When she won her Padma. And she was asked this question. after having quite frankly achieved quite a lot of it.
Of course.
All. She said no. She said, you can't have it all. Can have a lot of it.
Okay. All right.
So I think when I spoke to her later on, I kind of understood she meant that perhaps you can't have it all from somebody else's perspective.
Yes, yes, that's yeah.
But you can have a lot of things that you want.
Yes.
I like to add a little point to this. I also feel that maybe, and I keep stressing on this because I think our generation, especially when I talk to my nieces and like anyone who's much younger than me, is very impatient. Maybe we won't have it all by a certain age.
Okay.
You know, we won't have it all by 25. We won't have it all by 30. And that's great because we want to have things to do. You know, you can't, if you achieved everything you wanted in life by 30, what would you do next?
Exactly. I agree. It is not age bound or anything. It's just that when you want what you want, you will get it. But of course, it is also your definition of what is the all. What is it that you're looking for? You know, and maybe you can't have everything at every point in time. But yes, eventually when you look back, yes, I think, you know. So I think she had a very important point that maybe people think that you haven't had it all. But ultimately, it is my decision or my judgment. I have to know whether I got it all or not. But so yes, you can, but maybe not from other people's perspective. That's actually a great point. Yeah. Anyways, so
one last
that
I'm sorry.
No. Please go ahead.
That, you know, I feel living without regret for me would be having it all. If I've done everything I could ever want to do and I gave it all my best, then that is having it all, right?
It is absolutely, and that's a wonderful thought. Yes, no regrets. All right.
Yeah.
So Sana, thank you so much. It was indeed extremely enlightening and, you know, like enriching. And what I do is, you know, I'm asking the same set of questions to women across age groups, stratas, cultures, whatever. And it is heartening to see that, you know, like we are roughly on the same page, all of us. So therefore, I think, you know, like they say, the conclusion, a woman is not a woman's worst enemy, because we're all very, very similar in the way we think. Maybe of course our cultures and circumstances are different, but the core is the same. So that I think is something that we need to feel good about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this.
No, wonderful. It was really nice talking to you. All right, thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.